The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Bell to Bell Radio. I'm your host, David Sears, and we are on the Tony Curry Radio Network. Bell to Bell has a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. First off, WWE Night of Champions took place on Saturday night from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. We saw the crowning of a new World Heavyweight Championship, the changing of one of the women's titles, and a major betrayal in the bloodline. First up, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles opened up the show with an amazing match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins gets the win. It was a great match, great back and forth, great action. Seth getting the title is the right call to me. I think he is going to be able to do what needs to be done to carry that belt in, week out, defending it weekly or monthly. I don't think he'll defend it weekly. That would be a heck of a schedule. But the fact that he will be around and be the champion to allow us to see a champion on television each week will be great. Second match of the night was Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. And the big takeaway from that is Zoe Starks helps Trish Stratus win. So Trish gets the thank you, Trish, from Zoe Starks. That feud is not over. I think this is probably going to conclude in some type of two out of three falls, Iron Woman match, or Hell in a Cell cage match at SummerSlam. They're going to keep building this thing. And hopefully a returning Lita can help them do a tag match with Zoe and Trish versus Lita and Becky Lynch. Up next was a really solid match between Gunther and Mustafa Ali. The crowd was very behind Mustafa Ali. They worked really hard. It was one of the shorter matches of the night. Not the shortest, though. We'll get to that in a moment. And I really thought Gunther was shown to be a strong champion, and Mustafa Ali was just, he was good, but he wasn't good enough. And there was some impressive moves there done by Gunther. The power bombs were pretty bad. Badass, not bad. Some amazing 450 splashes by Mustafa Ali that came close to getting him to victory. Then we had the Raw Women's Championship match, which was Bianca Belair versus Asuka. And that was a heck of a match. Those two women are on top of their game. 100% believe in those two. There was a good back and forth match. Asuka missed the mist on Bianca Belair the first time. But for the second time, she blew the mist in her hand and smeared it across the eyes of Bianca, blinding her, allowing her to get the upset and get that victory. That was pretty solid. Then we had a squash. Natalya versus Rhea Ripley, and Dominic basically distracts Natalya right after the bell rings, and Rhea just destroys her. It was less than 2 minutes total for that match from start to finish. Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes was another good match there. I really like the storytelling they're going with this. Brock makes Cody pass out by putting the Kimura lock on his broken arm. Cody doesn't tap. He just passes out. So I like that he shows that he'd rather pass out than tap out. We're going to get a rubber match. Maybe at Money in the Bank. I think they'll save it for SummerSlam. Let Cody be in the Money in the Bank match. Maybe have Brock cost him the Money in the Bank match. Set up their feud at SummerSlam again in a big, big Hell in a Cell or a cage match or some type of extremely violent match there. Now, the match of the night to me, while Seth Rollins and AJ Styles was an amazing match, the match of the night to me was the bloodline of Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Sammy was so over by the crowd. The place was going nuts for him. He came out in traditional garb for Muslims on their pilgrimage to Mecca. It was what he wore prior when he made the pilgrimage to Mecca. And if you haven't seen it, it's a really impressive video on WWE.com where Sammy gets it chronicled of his visit to Mecca, which is the holiest place for those that follow the faith of Islam. Now, we also got the introduction, which was pretty neat. Paul Heyman interrupts and takes the microphone and does the introduction for Roman and Solo. And then Sammy takes the microphone away after Paul Heyman had given it back to the ring announcer to do the announcement in Arabic for him and Kevin Owens. It was an electrifying moment. The place was so behind Sammy. Kevin and Roman started off the match, and they just kind of circled for a little bit, and then Kevin tags in Sammy. Sammy comes in and goes, the place goes ham. It was just amazing. It was, he's had two amazing moments this year. Look at him at the Elimination Chamber in Montreal and what happened with him in Quebec there. And then he gets to go and Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and gets completely over. The man, he needs, I know they're probably going to let Cody do it, but the man needs to take the title off Roman to complete the story, especially with the developments that occurred after or during the match. So the referee gets taken out, typical fashion, and the Usos show up after Roman had told them to not be a part of the match at all. He can win without them. They were to stay in the States. The Usos show up, and Roman's been taken out by Sammy and Kevin. Usos get in the ring. Jimmy super kicks Sammy. Jay super kicks Sammy. And then they both go do a double super kick and accidentally take out Solo. Roman sees this and flips out, runs in the ring, shoves Jimmy down, and tells him to leave. They were doing... And then Jimmy shouts, I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago to Jay, and super kicks Roman Reigns. And Jay is like, what are you doing? And then Jimmy super kicks Roman a second time. And Jay was going nuts, not sure what to do. He was torn because he, again, remember during COVID, Jay was the one that feuded with Roman and tried to take the belt off him and eventually joined the bloodline. But Solo was left alone inside the ring after Roman got the super kicks and rolled out. Solo catches a stunner and then a hell of a kick. Haluva kick. I know it's hell of a kick. Haluva kick. And 1, 2, 3, we get the victory for the one and only Undisputed Champions with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They have got the wrestling world at their fingertips. This bloodline story keeps getting better and better. This is some great long-term storytelling for the bloodline, for Sami. I know that this is going to lead to a match between Solo and Roman versus the Usos. I don't know if it's going to be at SummerSlam. I don't know if it's going to be at Money in the Bank in London, but this is coming. The other big WWE pay-per-view this weekend was WWE Battleground, and it was a solid show from Lowell, Massachusetts. Opening match was Wes Lee versus Tyler Bate versus Joe Gacy for the North American title, and it was amazing. It's some great cruiserweight wrestling with Wes Lee combined with just a great brawler style from Gacy. And Tyler Bates is just an amazing wrestler. Wait till he gets on the main roster. He's going to be your future world champion. Him and Butch are going to have some classic matches for the WWE Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, or Universal Championship. Mark my words, those guys are great. We get the victory of a cardiac kick on Gacy by Wesley. Lee continues his reign, which is now the longest reign of the NXT North American Championship. So congratulations to Wes Lee on that mark. Then we had a Heritage Cup match between Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee with Nathan Frazier. That was a pretty solid match. You had 6 3-minute rounds with 20-second breaks in between rounds. First to two falls wins, with falls coming by pinfall, submission, or countout. Knockout or DQ ends the match instantly, and a fall automatically ends a round. If no one has won two falls by the end of the 6 rounds, the champion would retain the title. Got all that? Because those are the rules for the Heritage Cup match. And it went, as you expected, a full 6 rounds. And I'm sorry, a full five rounds before Noam Dar puts in a broken ankle lock on Dragon Lee. Another running Hurricane Rana by Lee, when was a sick powerbomb spot there. Dar was able to get the victory, and he hit a sit-down powerbomb for two, and Jakara Jackson shows up with Lash Legend coming in during the distraction and hitting Lee with a bucket. The Nova Roller finishes, and Noam Dar retains the title at 218 of the round and 1422 overall. It's an interesting style, a change of pace for the WWE to do that. I like what they're trying to do there with Noam Dar, and that was just an amazing match. To me, the match of the night was a last man standing between Dijak and Ilya Dragunov, and holy cow, was it just an absolute destruction of a match. It's awesome. You need to go and watch it. Dragunov gets the win, which he should, because they're building up as a strong face. And they just beat the living hell out of each other for about 15 minutes. It was just a great beatdown, an amazing match. Holy cow. Go back and watch it. It's on Peacock. If you only can watch the highlights on YouTube, at least watch the highlights. It was amazing. We're getting a Great American Bash coming up for July 30th, will be the next NXT pay-per-view. Gallus took on the Creed brothers for the NXT tag titles and retains in a pretty solid match. Gallus, again, they're a good tag team. They just need the right opponent to make them look even better. I think they're a solid tag team. They're going to do well when they make the main roster. They just need to find the right opponents. And I don't know who it will be to take the titles off them right now. Pretty Deadly on SmackDown seem to be doing really well there. So we'll go. Then we had the women's title with Lyra Valkyrie versus Tiffany Stratton for the vacant title. Tiffany Stratton gets the victory in a really solid match. It was probably Tiffany Stratton's best match ever. And she did a great job. She has done well on the mic. I'm interested to see her title run. It will be a very good heel run. We've had Cora Jade. We've had Roxy Perez. Then we had Indy Hartwell. So we've had some pretty good women's wrestlers. Again, they're doing their best to build that division out there and make it strong, and I think they've got a good thing. Now, the main event was Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes, and in no shock, Carmelo Hayes retains. I think this means Breakker's headed to the main roster. I wouldn't be surprised to see him at Raw tonight to finally get him up there. It was a really good move. It was a really good match, and they both brought their games. Carmelo Hayes is going to be a huge star. I think Shawn Michaels has done very well with him and has helped him just reach a new level. We'll continue to see who his next challenger will be. And I've been a fan. I liked his heel work. It was nuts seeing him develop from a heel to a face and the double switch between him and Braun. I like how they did it. I think they did it well. I'm a big fan of what we are doing with NXT right now. Now, the third and final big pay-per-view of the weekend was going on the same time as NXT Battleground was AEW Double or Nothing. Opening match, or first match on the buy-in, were the Hardys with Hook versus Ethan Page and the Guns. And Hardys get the victory. Matt Hardy now controls the contract of one Ethan Page. We'll see where that plays out. Opening match was the international title Blackjack Battle Royal on the pay-per-view. Solid match comes down to Orange Cassidy and Zaya Swerve Strickland, and it was a great finish. Orange Cassidy using common sense Swerve Strickland was hanging on by one hand. Orange looked like he was about to go for the Superman punch and stopped and just kicked his hand and let him fall off. So Orange retains. Now, here's the match that started a lot of controversy last night. Second match was the unsanctioned match between Adam Cole, Bebe, and Chris Jericho. And Sabu was a part of it, does one table-breaking spot, then fights to the back with Roderick Strong and the rest of the JAS. So there's really no run-in from the JAS. And it was weird that it just took two guys, Strong and Sabu, to control the JAS when they were outnumbered. I was hoping for an appearance by Bobby Fish and returning Kyle O'Reilly. That did not happen. We did get a spot where Adam Cole Bebe was handcuffed and Jericho was about to handcuff him to the ring when Britt Baker runs in with a kendo stick, smacks Jericho around with it. Saraya tries to come in and stop it. She gets hit with a kendo stick and ran off by Britt Baker. And it was just weird because it's an unsanctioned match. There really should be no rules, no rope breaks, no nothing. But Adam Cole wraps a chain around his fist and just starts punching Chris Jericho. Aubrey Edwards calls a ref stoppage in an unsanctioned match. And it was just, it was stupid. It's unsanctioned. It's as bad as when Seth Rollins got disqualified fighting the Fiend in a Hell in a Cell match by using the mallet. You know, that's just, that it's Hell in a Cell. Anything goes. Mick Foley went through a table. He climbed back up, went through the cage. And they kept going. They didn't stop the match. It was stupid. It was frustrating. I don't understand what they were doing. Then we get a AEW World Tag Team Championship match after the unsanctioned match. FTR versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett with Mark Briscoe as the special referee. And it was pretty good. We get an accidental clubbing of Mark Briscoe with the guitar from Jeff Jarrett. So they're fighting with Sanjay and Singh on the outside. Satnam Singh on the outside and Karen Jarrett helping. Aubrey runs down. Karen Jarrett smashes the guitar over Aubrey Edwards' heads and then rolls her ankle in her high heels and falls down. The titles get used. Jeff Jarrett hits the stroke. Mark comes over, gets a two count before we get a kick out by Dax. Jeff then starts slapping Mark, who returns the favor and knocks Jarrett into a shatter machine. And it was okay. It was an okay match, but just not up to the standards of what we've come to expect with AEW tag team wrestling. Backstage, Ricky Starks was interviewed, gets jumped by Jay White and Juice Robinson, two guys he eliminated in the Blackjack Battle Royal. FTR comes in and runs them off. Jericho and Saraya challenge Adam Cole and Britt Baker to a mixed tag team match backstage for Wednesday Night Dynamite, which was later approved on by Tony Khan later in the show. Then we get the ladder match between Wardlow and Christian Cage. A lot of shenanigans. Eventually, we get a pretty sick table spot where Wardlow goes off a very tall ladder. It took Arn Anderson and two refs holding the ladder in place for Wardlow to commit Swanton Bomb through the table to Luchasaurus. Then he destroys Christian Cage with power bomb and then goes up the to grab the title. Wardlow retains. And then the AEW Women's Championship match happens with Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm. I was expecting much. They have Toni Storm come out and then they play Jamie Hayter's music. Jamie doesn't come out. They stop the music, do it again, and Jamie's getting beat up by Ruby Riott and Ruby Soho, forgive me, she's no longer in NXT. Ruby Soho and Saraya, they're beating her up, attacking her shoulder. There's a really bad botched spot where Saraya is supposed to be holding the arm of Jamie Hayter against the steel steps, and Toni Storm comes to just drop kick it. And when she does, you can see clearly Hayter move the arm and not get hit at all. They redo the spot and make it look more realistic, but it had already been blown. Then we get a run out by Britt Baker. I didn't understand this. If you see your friend getting attacked, why wait that long in the match to come out and did it? Same with Hikaru Shida, waited way too long to come out and help Jamie Hayter to even the odds to 3-on-3. Tony hits Sheet Keek, Sweet Cheeks music, and then hits a Storm Zero for the victory. So the Outcasts get the women's championship. Toni Storm is your new women's champion. Then we had an amazing match between the Trios champion with the open house rules of the House of Black versus the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. Oh my goodness, the Acclaimed come out to Max Caster's rap, and he has a line calling Buddy a cuck to Dominic Mysterio. And it was amazing. The place went nuts. Max Caster needs to rap. They need to do a rap album for Max Caster. Let him do it. John Cena did one when he was the Doctor of Thugonomics. Let Max do it. It was amazing. Really good match. They focused on Anthony Bowens's leg for the most part of the match. And then we just get a pretty crazy finish. And Daddy Ass gets the hot tag, but catches a black mass after shenanigans. And the 1-2-3 House of Black retains. AEW TBS champion Jade Cargill takes on Taya Valkyrie in a really good match. Jade Cargill gets the victory to go to 60-0. Immediately after that, Mark Sterling issues an open challenge, and Chris Statlander returns, gets the victory over Jade Cargill to be your new TBS champion. Jade Cargill now 60-1, and wow, that was an amazing return. A lot of people were expecting Jordan Grace to show up from Impact because she's supposedly finished with that company. And it was a fun match. Jade's reign is ending. Shout out to my man, Ryan McLaughlin. He's a big Alpha Phi Alpha guy, and their sister sorority is the AKAs. Jade Cargill did a great opening number with the AKAs to come out to the ring. It was great. Then the co-main event started. The first one was the Four Pillars match between MJF, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara. We get an announcement during Sammy's match that Taya Guevara is pregnant. So congratulations to that couple. Sammy was fighting hard, wanting to come in with that dad energy. The finish led to Darby put Jack Perry on the title and hits a coffin drop. Darby was hurt after hitting the coffin drop. Max hits him with the side headlock to get the victory, and it was probably the match of the night, in my opinion. I know Anarchy in the Arena was really good, and the more of the story was good than the match to me with Anarchy in the Arena. And MJF retains. Then we get the Anarchy in the Arena match to close out the show, the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite. And the Blackpool Combat Club came out to a live performance of Wild Thing. It was really cool because the bands, the Violent Idols, kept playing Wild Thing for the first 5 minutes of the match. They eventually stopped when the Young Bucks super kicked the lead singer. Also, interesting choice of a black mask with red lips for the lead singer of the Violent Idols. Totally didn't look like blackface. Oh, yes, it did. There was the spot of the night. Had Matt Jackson with an explosive in his shoe do a super kick to the face of John Moxley. Moxley then sold that for a while, and they took off Matt's shoe and slammed his bare foot onto the thumbtacks. You could see how bad it looked. He was bleeding pretty badly. Don Callis gets in the ring after Yuta gets hit with a dead eye. He's put in the one-winged angel, and Don Callis gets up in the ring, and Omega drops Yuta to confront Don Callis. And then Kanatsuke Takeshita shows up and attacks Kenny from behind, allowing Yuta to get the shot with the screwdriver. Yuta Wheeler pins Kenny Omega to get the victory for the Blackpool Combat Club. All in all, a solid match. Post-media scrum was pretty good. MJF hit a really good point about storytelling today and how wrestling audiences want immediate gratification. And he's 100% true. It takes a lot of people want to see MJF. One week they call me the best wrestler in the world. The next week I'm the drizzling shits, you know? And he says, it's not just me. It's with the WWE. It's with all of it. And he's right. Wrestling fans have become so entitled and demand everything to be wrapped up quickly. I mean, the Bloodline storyline has been going on since 2020, and it is probably the best storyline going on right now in wrestling, the implosion of the Bloodline. You had different pieces added to it with Solo Sikoa added at Clash at the Castle, Sami Zayn added to be an honorary Oos, and the Sami's betrayal of Roman because he won't let Roman continue to beat up Kevin Owens, the reunification of Sami and Kevin. Now the Usos leaving the Bloodlines. That was great. The reunification of the Elite was a great long-term story. I mean, they splintered after Hangman and Kenny lost the tag team belts, and it started with Hangman keeping the Bucks from challenging Kenny and Hangman for the tag team titles. Kenny and the Bucks turning heel. The Bucks, when Kenny and Hangman went wrestled for the title, not getting involved and letting Hangman get the victory. And they finally get reunited, and they need someone to help them because Kanosuke Takeshita now has made it 5 members of the Blackpool Combat Club. The Elite is down, is just 4. No Cody Rhodes because he's in the WWE. So they need a 5th member to help them out. We all know where this is going. Forbidden Door's coming up at the end of June. We know that Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega are huge, huge friends. Kota Ibushi, in all likelihood, is headed to AEW. When Kota Ibushi was talking to Dark Puro Resso Flow Vision Wrestling, Kota Ibushi said of Kanosuke Takeshita, I never thought he was that great. He's a made imitation of me. Also, he never respected me. Let's go. Kota Ibushi to counter Kanosuke Takeshita. Let's go. I am all for it. I don't know when they'll reveal Kota. It's got to be soon, especially with the Blackpool Combat Club. Now with Brian Danielson, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Yuta Wheeler, and Kanosuke Takeshita. That's 5. And Don Callis is involved now. Don Callis is going to come after Kenny Omega and cut him apart. You know Kota's coming. You know Kota Ibushi is coming and how great he is going to be in addition to that feud. I cannot wait to see what happens when we get the 5 of them. You know it's leading to a blood and guts. It's going to be a blood and guts match. I don't know if it's going to be a pay-per-view blood and guts match or if it's going to be one of those Dynamite blood and guts matches. Or heck, do it on Collision to help get some ratings. Though we have some something to say about Collision. That's coming up next. But I think when you look at what's going on right now with the Blackpool Combat Club and with the Elite, you're going to get Kota Ibushi joining AEW in the near future. All right. Now, on to other news. The funeral service for superstar Billy Graham will be held this Thursday in Arizona, Chandler, Arizona. Billy Graham, say what you will, he was not that talented a wrestler, but he was an amazing force that many people modeled their careers after, such as Jesse the Body Ventura, Hulk Hogan. He was a man who helped define what a superstar should be. He was one of the most influential professional wrestlers ever with his bleach blonde hair, his tie-dye outfits, his poetic interview style. He was a man that helped the WWWF form into what they were. He was a great traveling person. He fought in all the territories during the territory system. He was the one that dethroned Bruno Sammartino for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship in 1977 and held the title for almost a year before losing to Bob Backlund. He's a 2004 inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. However, again, he did a lot of steroids and it caused long-term health damage. He was forced to undergo a liver transplant in 2002, had some health issues because of that long-term steroid use. So he lived 20 years after the transplant, which is a lot longer than some people get with a liver transplant. He will be missed. Their funeral service, I think, will be open to the public. So if you want to go to Chandler, Arizona, feel free to go out there and give your respects to one of the major influencers of professional wrestling of the 80s and 90s, superstar Billy Graham. All right. In other news, AEW Collision has announced the site of their first show, and it will be in the United Center in Chicago. Again, this is all but confirming CM Punk returning that night to AEW. Ace Steel supposedly has been rehired by AEW, will be working on Collision, which will have a soft brand split where Punk will be there. Ace Steel working from home for now, but he will be on the road eventually if reports are correct. He'll be back with Punk on the road as one of the lead bookers for AEW Collision. I am excited about this. I am a huge CM Punk mark. I pull for that guy. I've loved him. I was exposed to him in the WWE, went back, watched his ROH stuff, and he is an amazing wrestler. He's an amazing talker. He looks to be in a great shape. He's been posting workout videos on Instagram. Man is got some burn, that fire burns in him still, to prove everyone that he is the best professional wrestler in the world. And we keep seeing hints from MJF dropping hints that he is wanting a feud with CM Punk because MJF keeps saying that he is the best professional wrestler in the world. No one can touch him. No one's on his level. It's going to be a good feud, especially they can go back after that brutal, bloody match the two of them had in AEW. Now, a new addition to this wrestling podcast, it will be the Wrestling Book of the Week. I just finished Ringmaster, Vince McMahon and the Unmaking of America by Abraham Riesman. And it is a biography that pulls no punches. Vince never really knew his namesake, Vince McMahon Sr., until he was in his 20s, or until he was in his teens. His dad had basically left him to go back up north and run the WWWF with his father. Vince got a taste of wrestling when he would spend time with his father after they reconnected in North Carolina. Vince is a horrible person. There are accusations of rape in there. There are accusations of steroid use. A lot of stuff in there about the nitty-gritty of the steroid trial, of the conquest of the territories by Vince and basically breaking all the rules they had back then, the unspoken rules of wrestling territories, and how he made the WWF into an empire, and then the legal name changed in 2002, the WWE. So a very thorough read, very well done. I totally think you should read it if you are a fan of professional wrestling, especially if you're in the WWE, just to get a history of the man who basically made the monopoly for one wrestling company. WCW tried, they had those 82 weeks and that's been it. AEW is trying to catch WWE. They say they're not, but Yeah, they're totally coming after the WWE, trying to be like them, trying to be more of the Attitude Era with the blood and swearing. I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars for the book. I highly recommend it if you are a fan of wrestling and want to get into some wrestling history. Currently, I'm reading the first autobiography of Hulk Hogan called Hollywood Hulk Hogan, that goes through his run in his second run in the WWE, or third run technically, when he comes back with the NWO. To join Vince after being away in WCW. I'll give you an update on that next week. If you want to reach me, I am at DavidSears75 on Twitter. You can follow me there, and I give you wrestling takes and all sorts of fun stuff, plus retweet lots of Tony Curry Radio content. You can follow me on Instagram at DavidSears1982. Make sure you follow Tony Curry Radio so you never miss an episode of Bell to Bell. It's available on all your major podcasting platforms. You can also follow Tony Curry Radio on social media. It's facebook.com/Tony Curry Radio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Tony Curry Radio. And guess what? Instagram at Tony Curry Radio. All of those available there for you to do. I am David Sears. I hope you have had a great time with me. I look forward to doing this more often. Again, we're going to try to get Aaron on in a few weeks, if his schedule allows it, to just talk wrestling and get more philosophical about the wrestling business in as a whole. But for Tony Curry Radio, I'm David Sears for Bell to Bell Radio, saying have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.